Lord Vader, Operation Andor is underway.
Excellent. If we release 3 episodes per week, the Lorehounds will never be able to cover every episode. The Imperial forces will crush the rebellion before it begins.
Stand by. We're picking up something on our scanners.
Echo Squadron, reporting in.
Delta Squadron, on your left.
Django Squadron, on your 6.
With Imperial forces coming in fast, we're calling all Rebels to join the fight this season. Starting after the April 22nd premiere, you'll hear 3 full breakdowns for each week's episodes of Andor Season 2. Each podcast will be led by one of our squadron leaders, Alicia, David, and John. We'll be bringing in new and familiar voices to fill out the roster. Search for the Lorehounds on any podcast platform to join us in a galaxy far, far away. And don't forget to check out our season pass for even more content like our Holocron bonus pods. It's good news for anyone, except Darth Vader.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, stain, tools, flooring, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online from May 8th through May 14th. Not a member? Join My Lowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hey everybody, Mark here. This sidetrack probably obviously grew out of our conversation about the Doobie Brothers tune Long Train Runnin'. Here I give 5 reasons why What a Fool Believes by the Doobie Brothers is the greatest song of all time. I'm not saying it is the greatest song of all time. I'm just providing evidence showing that it could be. The last time I tried this with Jimmy Eat World's For Me This Is Heaven, some of you agreed and some of you did not agree. Also, by the way, we recorded this episode before that Max documentary Yacht Rock came out. It's really awesome. I learned the term the Doobie Bounce from that documentary, and I wish I'd used it like 20 times in this episode. I also highly recommend you see it at a friend's private screening in a big lecture hall in a local university that unfortunately happens to get broken up by the campus police, and you realize nobody actually ever reserved that room. Michael McDonald. Okay. Can we sidetrack?
Yes.
We're going to sidetrack. Listeners, stay tuned. We're going to keep talking. But about Michael McDonald, I'll just say, I don't know that I can think of anybody else that his voice is kind of funny and strange and also one of the best voices I've ever heard. Like, he sounds so amazing, but it's also weird. And that's usually not true. Usually if a voice strikes you as weird, like maybe it's cool. You're like, oh, it's Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins. Like, it's a cool voice, but it's weird. But I wouldn't say his voice is amazing, right? It's just cool sounding because he's got that whispery scream. Michael McDonald is simultaneously strange sounding and good. Amazing, yeah. Right? And my sidetrack, 5 reasons why What a Fool Believes by the Doobie Brothers is the greatest song of all time.
Okay, let's go.
To be clear, I'm not saying that What a Fool Believes by the Doobie Brothers is, in fact, the greatest song of all time.
He's making an argument.
I think the argument could be made that it is the greatest song of all time. And what I would like you to do, follow me, but also, if you have more reasons, add them. If you have reasons that come from your perspective or come from your expertise, please share them. If you have refutations of my reasons, if you want to take me down, please do. But we're talking about What a Fool Believes. This is the hook of What a Fool Believes, which comes from their album, Minute by Minute. Number one hit, won the Song of the Year at the Grammys, which people might care about.
Even right out of the gate, Now, as we're going through this process together, I'm learning so much more about what you like in music. And I absolutely understand why you think this is the best song
of all time. I'm super curious.
I think that you like it because it's lyrically a little bit complex, or like not lyrically, but like the way compositionally complex. And it's got like a little synth pop vibe to it. And you really like that. And that's probably one of your two reasons.
You're getting close there. Okay, so we've already talked a little bit about this. My number one reason, the vocal performance.
Sure.
Like, it's just so... I mentioned before the term blue-eyed soul, right? I've heard the joke made that people are surprised that he's white when you hear his voice, but it's just so soulful, right?
Mm.
And just listen to this pre-chorus. He's got these high notes, but they're so expressive, right?
Never coming near what you wanted to say, only to realize it never really was. She had a place in his life.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's like when it's good, but also fun to try to parody.
I think of like Jimmy Fallon singing Michael McDonald whenever I hear him.
Okay.
Because he has like a couple parodies.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've seen him do stuff. I haven't seen him do Michael McDonald.
It's pretty
funny. But I've been in band rehearsal where someone's just, she came from somewhere back in, because it's just so strange, but so perfect.
And my friends have a band that does classic rock covers, and they're big Michael McDonald fans. So shout out to Somerset.
Somerset, whoever you are, hitting up. Are you doing, And then are they, this is a cover band. So then did they medley into Regulate by Warren G?
Oh, I think they did, actually.
That's what I would do if I was covering that. Awesome. Okay. Anyways, my number two reason is actually, you mentioned lyrics, and I think you didn't think I was going to say lyrics, because I usually don't talk about lyrics.
You don't, no.
But the lyrics are really interesting in this song. I would absolutely be curious. I know it's a sidetrack. We don't have to deep dive, but what your reaction from a psychology perspective is, because it seems to be about a guy who meets up with an ex, or at least a woman that he used to know, and he sees something there, but she doesn't, and she leaves, and he kind of won't admit. He's like in denial. Just the words from the verse. He came from somewhere back in her long ago. The sentimental fool don't see, trying hard to create what had yet to be created once in her life. She musters a smile for his nostalgic tale, never coming near what he wanted to say, only to realize it never really was.
Yeah, there is. I mean, the line, the sentimental fool don't see, is really a reference to what we call hindsight bias that I think we might have discussed in a previous episode. That when you look back, she's seeing him with, you know, her present day lens of like all that the wrongs that he did and the reasons that it didn't work out. But he's still stuck in the past, looking at her through a lens of when things were good. And she's already moved past that. So he hasn't reached that point of hindsight yet.
I'm not even sure there is anything there was ever, because the line, trying hard to create what had yet to be created once in her life, like he's perceiving maybe a love that never even really existed. And there's something about that imbalance in how the perspectives are that's sort of relatable on some level.
Like he like projected what the relationship could be onto her, and she never did that.
Then the chorus comes, and sort of the point, which isn't his perspective at all, or even about the relationship, but it's more like us looking on to somebody. It's not standing in judgment of the fool, but it's like now the point of the song and the hook is, what a fool believes he sees, no wise man has the power to reason away.
Yeah.
What seems to be is always better than nothing at all. And so it's like about, not a relationship, but about like people see what they want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like such a unusual way to say that.
It's beautiful. It really is his poetry. Yeah.
And I never really, it took me a while to figure out what the heck they were talking about. And it's also kind of an inversion of The Fool on the Hill.
Yeah.
Which The Fool on the Hill, Paul McCartney line, but the fool on the hill sees the sun coming down, but the eyes in his head see the world spinning round. And that's about the person that everybody else says is a fool, is seeing the sunset and realizing that it's the world turning, not the sun moving at all. And everybody says he's a fool. Mm-hmm. This is an inversion because this person is seeing something that's not there.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's deliberate or not. I don't think so. But the word of the fool is like
it sparked
characteristic.
You.
So anyways, I don't normally geek out about the lyrics, but there's something about it that just fits for such a simple, forgettable sounding words. When you put them together, it's very poetic.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting.
It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
All right, number three.
I think also the song uses a rare instrument. I'm hearing a rare instrument.
There's
in here.
Synthesizer that's a little
it's
bit.
Like, doo, doo, doo,
I don't know what
there's
the
like
synth
a background.
Is, but the meow 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 meow
the
kind
meow,
of sounding
meow
instrument.
Sound, yes.
I think it's guitar, bass, drums, percussion, and synth is all it is. So it's nothing. Nothing's gonna make
no
that
Okinaria.
Episode about the yeah.
Okay.
Okinaria.
Is that a thing?
Ocarina.
Yeah.
No ocarina, yeah. No ocarina in there.
No ocarina.
Okay, so you already caught one of my reasons. My number three is it's very complex, but sounds very poppy and accessible. Mm-hmm. And that's extremely hard. There's many key changes in this song, back and forth between keys. And it's constantly, the melody is fast at times and then holding these long notes with these harmonies. It's really composed, but sounds just like a pop banger, I think. Right. So here's an example. So I don't know if you could hear, there was a key change there and it was similar music that shifted sort of abruptly, but smoothly. Like, I don't know. It's genius. It's also kind of hard to play. On the keebs too. Like a keyboard part's tricky.
Do you just say keebs?
The keebs? You don't call it keebs? What if there's not enough time to say keyboards?
Just say key.
The keys.
Keys.
The keys.
I've never heard keebs before, but maybe I'm learning.
I'm a professional, Nicole.
You are, clearly.
Okay, reason number four.
Keebs.
It has a really lovely buildup of energy, a kind of rise and fall of the pace.
Sure.
So listen here, we're going to hear the end of the she came from somewhere, the verse section, right? But then we get this lull in energy until the bigger chorus. Now, this doesn't have a grunge, explosive, loud scream chorus, but it builds up and falls the energy a few times in the song. And it's really satisfying.
Classic refractory period.
Refractory period. Is that something that is referenced to, that's a sex thing, right? Is it only a sex thing?
No.
I thought refractory, isn't that what it's called, like after sex?
Yes,
when like
and it's
you're
so
not
funny
into sex anymore?
You say that because it's referenced to like action potential and like how our neurotransmitters express, like our synapses shoot out whatever, it's brain science. I'm not going to get into it. But I was explaining it to my class, my physiological psych class, about like, you know, we shoot out the dopamine and then we need to take a rest. And that rest period is called the refractory period. And they weren't getting it. So I told them it's like sex. And I had to like shield my eyes. I was like, I'm about to say something to help you understand this. But it's like when after a man has sex, he has a refractory period. And then they were like, oh, right. Action potential. And then they understood it.
Like I've never learned about action potential, but I feel like that was a high school sex ed thing.
The refractory period.
So when you say that term, like that's what that means.
You know, they were giggling in class. And I was like, I think it's because they think I'm talking about sex, but I'm just talking about action potential and neurotransmitter.
Because that's one
behavior.
Thing we remember from that class, I guess.
They'll remember something.
All right. Well, anyways, okay, take a listen. So. You'll see what I'm talking about here. Refractory.
Yeah. Blissful.
Let's go again.
Yeah, well, it's quick.
Watching her go.
My number one reason was the vocal performance. My number two reason was the lyrics. My number three reason was that it's complex yet accessible. Mm-hmm. My number four reason was the way they treat energy and pacing. My number five reason, and this is maybe this is unfair, I didn't really know this song till I was in my 30s.
Yes.
And so what that means is it escapes the trap of, well, it's possibly the best song ever written because it came out when I was 18 years old.
Sure.
Or it came out when my musical sense was developing. Well, of course, I was born this time, so of course I like that song. This escapes that. Like, mm-hmm. I was mostly done cooking. I mean, I'm sure I heard this when I was a kid or whatever, but I didn't process it and know who it was and really listen to it until I was grown man who is a professional musician. I know that sounds ridiculous. Like, how could I have not known it? I really didn't notice it until I was like 30.
You don't have like a foundational memory attached to the song that makes it like poignant to you. Like, I would
There's
say
no nostalgia attached to it.
One of my favorite songs is Wonderwall by Oasis. Do I think it's the best song ever written? Probably not. But I do have like a real emotional.
No, but it's the seventh grade song ever written for
right,
you or eighth
me.
Grade or
and
ninth
it was
or whatever
such like a pivotal piece of my memory bank. And this stands outside of that for you. And you can appreciate just as like a great song.
It makes me trust how cool I think it is.
That's cool.
Right.
I get
and
that.
Last note. Do you know who Crow wrote this song with Michael?
Was it like Dionne Warwick or something?
No, we'll come back to Dionne Warwick though. Kenny Loggins.
Oh, right. Cause they were vibing together.
I think they were buddies. I think they may have even been in group. I think they may have both been in the same bands at different times and things like that.
I conflate them a lot.
It's a similar kind of soulful white dude from the 70s and 80s. But Kenny Loggins made a version of this song that came out even earlier.
Do you have it?
I have a couple samples. Some parts of it sound similar. Some parts are very different interpretations.
She came from somewhere back in long ago. Trying hard to recreate what had yet to be created. Once in a
I'm like shocked. I'm interested that the thing that seems consistent for me in the two versions are that little like synth background.
Yeah.
And I think that's what stands out to me in both versions.
That must
like, no
have
matter
been
what,
there in the beginning.
Yeah.
Like Michael McDonald, the keyboardist, coming up with some part. It might have been a twinkly little keyboard part. Yeah.
A little prelude. Right,
here's what the hook section sounds like.
Right. Do you think he just couldn't hit the notes?
I think he can hit the notes. I think he just sings differently. Yeah.
It's like a different key. It feels like a different key, but I know it's not.
Oh, it's definitely in a lower key.
Mm.
But I mean, that's fine. You can change the key of a song and still be the same song, right? It's a different version. It's not bad. It's different. I'm super
sadder.
Used to the Doobie version.
It sounds sadder to
Yeah,
me.
I think you might be right about that. Yeah. Anyways,
I don't know.
Those are my five reasons why What a Fool Believes is the greatest song of all time.
What a great journey we just went on.
Do you disagree or do you want to add any?
I do think it's one of the greatest songs of all time. I think you made a good case for it. I think that if our audience demographic leans more towards like a Drake Kanye or whatever situation, they're gonna be like, who? No, this is like old white people music. And it is.
This is definitely yacht rock.
Yes.
100% yacht rock.
There's a place in society for yacht rock.
Yeah. And it's podcasts where we argue about some of it being I think that's part of what yacht rock is. Like, yacht rock is this sort of cheesy, uncool stuff, but is also unmistakably good.
It's so good.
Like, there's not a lot of yacht rock. Find me Hall & Oates. Make fun of Hall & Oates all you want. Find me bad Hall & Oates, though.
They're so good.
It's really good.
If we had twins, we would have named them. My daughter's name is Holland, and we would have named our brother twin Otis.
Otis.
That was our plan.
John Oates. So he would have also been the underappreciated member.
Well, yeah.
Wow. That's
Odie.
Really... Now I know why where she got
lore.
Her name. Okay,
yeah.
So yeah. So you're not a hater on yacht rock. You
no,
get it.
I like yacht rock, and I think it's impossible to be by a pool with a cool drink in your hand, listening to yacht rock and be in a bad mood.
Be mad about it. Yeah.
Like, be mad about that. And then go assess your life and you're a miserable person. But Michael McDonald's great. Objectively, anytime I hear other people sing Michael McDonald, I can't not laugh at them for some reason.
Sure.
because he's so like iconic and his voice is just funny sounding. Like, yeah. That's it. But very learning, a really great lyricist.
But also just it sounds cool.
It sounds super cool.
Even though it's funny.
It's super funny.
All right.
I still like the Doobie Brothers better before him.
Yeah. Okay. So
Tom Doobie.
Nevermind the Music is hosted by Nicole Vacher and me, Mark Papany. I also produce. Please be sure to subscribe and leave us a rating and a review.
And let us know what you think on social media. We're Never Music Pod on all major platforms. You can also send us an email at nevermusicpod@gmail.com. Every so often, we'll do a mailbag episode where we answer all your burning questions, so please send them in. Thanks for listening. Hey, Mark, I was listening to Paramore the other day, and it really made me think about the amygdala and the limbic system.
You just made those words up, didn't you?
What, Paramore?
We're the Nevermind the Music podcast, where one musician
and one psychologist
talk songwriting and the mind, one song at a time.
We'll hear everything from Green Day and Outkast
to Stevie Wonder and Dua Lipa.
And we mostly try to stay on topic.
Except for when we don't want to.
Nevermind the Music, wherever you get your podcasts.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, stain, tools, flooring, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online from May 8th through May 14th. Not a member? Join My Lowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.